Hey everyone, you're listening to the Reality Talk Show. I'm Ganesh Sharma.
I'm Naveen Kumar.
And I'm Praneet Kumar.
Awesome interviews. No.
Hey Praveen, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello everyone.
And welcome Naveen and Praneet.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Alright, as you know about, I guess, Praveen Prem Kumar, he is an amazing wildlife photographer and we have lots of interesting questions to ask him. Praveen, tell us how you really got into this field of photography. What really interested you?
In photography, it's been into me since a long year. I mean, I can just say it's like since I was back in my school days, 8th or 9th, I had this craze for taking normal nature photographs with this basic point and shoot camera. I have no idea how it came into me, but basically, like being a kid, everyone has some particular interest of feeling, you know? Let it be sports, or let it be like reading books, let it be anything, right? As a matter of fact. My interest was towards nature, but not basically photography. As I kept on exploring with this nature things, I used to go with my parents for vacations. I got this small case of let's take a good picture of something, whatever I see. It like even today, if you see back my old photographs, it's like this is a small ant, flower photographs, butterflies, all these things will be there, which these beginners do. But I really feel proud to reveal it to myself that, that is the journey which I really started out from. There's no miracle which has happened. So it's just that I had this basic interest towards nature, and that gradually took me into this photography era.
Is it something related to the place that you grew up in, Kerala, you know?
No ways, brother, because I did my complete schooling in Gulf. Okay. I'm an expatriate from Gulf. So there, it's like, it's a closed zone, you know. There's no much nature surrounding zone. It's just a complete hot arena. Basically desert, or you get boiled. There's nothing like from the lifestyle which I was born out. It's a pakka city life. There's nothing much to do with Asia. It's only during my vacations I come back to Kerala and have some fun time. But that too, till 8. After 8 only, these things have changed out. You know?
Alright.
That's when my dad, he bought this film camera. Because we used to go outside, so why not take some pictures? Than paying out to that mamuli guy who charges around 150 bucks for one picture. You might have seen that, same thing exactly. So just to avoid that, why not take a roll, the film thing, the roll you get, no? 32, you can clip 32 pictures.
Yes.
Why not get that and let's try photography? But I had no absolute idea regarding anything about photography, neither me, nor my dad, nor anyone in my family. But I was a camera person always. I used to keep on taking pictures. It's like my dad used to get me those film filters. Just clip whatever you want. Let's see how it comes later on. There's no depth, there's no focus, and there's nothing to think about at that age, you know.
So yeah.
What I'm talking right now is like, it's almost 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what the digital era hasn't improved that much.
So
that's how it went on through my veins.
So you just started taking photos, and then what was the first photo that you were really proud of that made you feel that this is it, this is what I want to do? Because that, every photographer has that one.
Exactly.
That.
Every photograph you make on the course period of a time, right from beginning till you turn out to an expert, there definitely will be something new or the other in every stages of that photographic era.
Right.
On a personal aspect and on a personal journey. Because it keeps on differing from every individual, you know. So, if you ask me for a particular image from which I decided to start off, let me say, to be frank enough, it took me a long while. Because I had to enter into this DSLR mode,
right,
to get that particular photograph which I really wished to achieve. So, that might have happened back in 2011, I guess, when I came to Bangalore. There's a huge past in the before Bangalore thing. That let's discuss over that later on. It might be a motivation for this upcoming generation. At the same time, it might be a degradation for these parents. Because I am basically an engineering quit. I just completed 1 year of engineering and I just ran away from my college. So there's a huge pass. You guys, if you wish to know more,
engineer dropouts have great stories to tell.
let's get into that later on.
Okay.
So right now, yeah. So basically, I just ran away to Bangalore. And in a 1 year time, I really got my camera.
Mm-hmm.
There is a story behind that also. It's like charter tree or something so that I can definitely give you an answer for everything. Else, it'll be like it's an ocean and I'm jumping into it. You guys will completely get confused. So maybe the first photograph, if you ask me, it might be a flower and a butterfly coming through, having the nectar from the flower. That's it. That one small photograph.
Doesn't have to be this huge thing. It can be something small that can
exactly.
be a big thing.
Exactly. If you're doing something with extreme passion, anything can give you happiness. As a matter of fact, let it be anything. Even if you're exchanging a small Nokia phone, the black and white one, with your own money, that's a band.
I remember we starting a journey of photography with Sony point and shoot cameras.
Sony CyberShot.
CyberShot is what we started with during our college days.
Yeah.
That's what interested us into photography. Like, especially this guy Pranit, he was the one who used to teach me certain techniques as to how you can achieve a certain type of shot if you want using that point and shoot camera. Today we see a lot of kids trying to use high-end stuff and yet not coming up with the kind of the artistic quality that should be there.
Yeah.
That is what is happening today.
My first camera, I got it from a Sony store. It was a display piece. They didn't have any other models of that.
Okay.
So they were like, sir, would you like to buy the display piece? And so I'm like, fine, just give me something. I want to buy a camera now. I came and I started taking lots and lots of photos. I used to carry it everywhere. So it used to be my new favorite toy. So I used to take lots and lots of photos. And the day I discovered that I could take bokeh photos with that, that was a revelation for me. So since then we developed to DSLR and people forget, I guess, these tiny things that that take us to bigger places.
Ah, exactly. What happens these days is that the technology these days, it has improved drastically and in such a way that people have stopped using calculators.
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Exactly. They just need mobile. Everything is instant. So what happens is DSLR is also, they have an auto mode right now these days. So the upcoming generation, they are falling flat for this auto modes. There's a huge artistic part which is lying behind, which none touches.
Exactly.
That is what I would like to point out, because right now, Ganesh, you told me that there is an artistic side in photography and none are aware of it.
Yeah.
So if you really need to be aware of such a mega versatile part of this photography era, you definitely need to get deep into this photographic thing. It's not that a course can offer you everything. No, that's not at all possible. You really need to be physically and mentally available for whatever properties this DSLR can offer yourself.
I have a small question for you.
Uh-huh.
It's not like you're always roaming around with a DSLR. Right? If you see...
But let me tell you, there are people who roam around with the cameras.
All the time.
They definitely, because let it be mobile or... Because these days mobile are high end. But still today also there are people who roam around with DSLRs. They are too crazy about street part. That goes to another field, Basically mine is like I'm into the wildlife part, so bulky lenses, I just cannot take the random shots in the streets and
whatnot.
So I'm completely aside from this other field of photography. I'm completely specialized in the wildlife right at the moment. Maybe future something else might come up, but at the moment strictly focused on the wildlife. You are asking something.
That's all. Like if you have you're passing by and you see something which attracts you and you really want to take a photo of it, do you go for your mobile phones if you even don't have a DSLR in your hand?
These days, since basically me being myself, I would say that I would not take a photograph because I am not much into that portion of era. Whereas if it is a tiger coming on a main road, definitely I will do something. I'll go grab my camera wherever it is and just get back to this.
So you're not trying to run away from it?
No, yes. because those are, let's avoid the tiger part. Let it be a tiny bird also, as a matter of fact. Bird with its baby, or maybe a street dog. Definitely, I do have that place. Obviously, I won't be having my camera with me. I am not a camera geek to carry it everywhere I go.
Okay.
But I do have my mobile camera. I'm using a Poco F1 and I'm using an amazing mobile. I'm not giving you
promotions.
The paid promotion for Poco, but it's an absolutely amazing phone. For photography. So definitely will make sure I click a few shots of whatever I see, which makes an impression to my eyes. I won't skip that.
Sure. So I wanted to ask this one thing. Did you get any prior training for photography or like you just started taking photos, right?
Good question. This question I have been, being harassed by the public since 3 to 4 years right now.
Yeah, it's like, are you self-taught or
I am basically self-taught.
Okay.
To be frank enough. And as a bootstrap, I would say that as soon as I quit my engineering, I just went to Bangalore. Just ran away literally to Bangalore. And I, for the sake of getting some degree, I got into a college. Let's not mention the college name because it is now 1 second ago, I just told for the sake of getting degree. So it's a good college. So I completed my complete BSc and I'm a BSc graduate in multimedia and animation. A well-fledged college. In that, in first semester, there was the subject photography. Just one, maybe 6 months. That too, basics of photography. Before that also, I am basically a photographic geek, but I never had these gears to be precise. This happened back in 2011. That's what I earlier mentioned. That 2011 is the year which when I really figured out how to click a picture. But it's not because of this college thing. Google, YouTube definitely are my first priorities. As a second, I would definitely say the college, it has helped me a lot. And I did not forget my ma'am, Priya ma'am, Priya Bani to be precise. There might be many Priyas, right? So she is a really one of my favorite teachers. I used to eat her head literally for whatever doubts I had regarding DSLR. Yeah, she used to, it's like stay back literally for me and work out my doubts. Because she, I think maybe she might have seen this future in me, but not wildlife, just photography. That's it. So, this photography just did not come into me. It just came gradually over the course of time. That's it. I think I went away from the topic which you asked me.
Yes, it's fine.
What was the question, brother? You can just repeat it if you want.
No, we were asking whether you have taken any training or not.
No, basically, there's no training involved. It's just self-taught. And this college, yeah, definitely maybe a 10 to 20%.
We need to have training though for photography.
Basically, for photography, training is definitely required. But it has to be either self or maybe with a... and expertise. But what happens these days is these expertise, they just don't give you the freedom to explore. They just tell you do so and so, get me the output.
Right.
There's no creativity involved in it. So what I would suggest is self-learning for photography is the best way.
So hands-on experience.
Exactly. You really need to have that mental training by yourself. YouTube these days provide everything, brother. Not just YouTube, even Google. It's just in a click of a second you get what you want. So whatever doubts you have, you can just shoot it out. But what happens with Google is it provides you massive information. So you never know what to collect.
Yes.
That at that point of time is where an expertise can really help you. Yes. But expertise choosing also, there are a couple of expertise. One is the business-minded expertise. One is the artistic expertise. One is the just for sake purpose expertise. These three sections are there. If possible, go for the than the business minded, because they will have, you pay me this much, I take this much. That is, you need to drop out from that. Never ever go behind such celebrity. I won't be pinpointing anyone. I'm just saying a common basic fact. Because I basically wanted to learn photography. So I never had this option of paying much. Because I literally ran away from my home without telling my parents probably. So what happened is money is a big, big issue for me. So I don't think I can spend much for any training. No. Because I just came down to Bangalore and I cannot tell my aunt, because I used to stay with her. I cannot tell my aunt that, give me so and so money. That's not possible. I already disturbed my parents and just, spoiled their dreams of being in engineering, being a true engineer, a computer science engineer. And so I have no rights to ask them more money at that particular point of time. So what I did is internet. That's the only facility which I had at that point of time. So definitely, I'm not saying if you really want to be a photographer, you need to fulfill the follow my footsteps. It's not possible, because the way I see is not how you will be seen, the public. The way I grab information is not the way. It definitely will differ.
Yes.
So if you really wish to get into the photography yourself, get a camera for yourself. Let it be any camera, even a mobile, as a matter of fact. Explore yourself with that phone with whatever device, with whatever gears you're having, just get to the field and just explore. Make a small portfolio and then go for higher returns. Thank you.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
What was the internal drive force for you to make that made you quit engineering and choose photography as your passion?
Okay. Now this is going to be personal, extremely personal. At one point of time I really need to reveal it. Let's say this might be the right time. It's like I have a love, basically. I mean, Ganesh must be known. It's a long love, maybe 9 years relationship. And with God's grace, she today is my wife. to not mention, she is Miss Rajalakshmi from Ernakulam. So the basic idea behind quitting engineering, I won't say the basic idea behind quitting engineering is just her. What happens is, if I would have continued my engineering career, I would not have ended up being here right now. Maybe some other paid job. But I really had this focus on what I wish to do. So she definitely is my backbone. My parents are also there, but she definitely knows where to grab me and where to drop me. So she literally knew that this is my passion. So why not stop be surviving in that hostel life for 4 years? You know, literally 4 years is like too huge at that time. Even right now it is very huge. But in current scenario, 1 day is also very precious. But that time, back in 2011, it was fine, all right. It's like 4 years. Rather than wasting these 4 years, let me just make sure that I come out of this engineering box and go for something creative. But photography was not that prior at that time. It was just towards designing or maybe animation. Because money is definitely required. No? So animation was a huge field, upcoming field. I think when you are an animation artist. So animation was an absolutely graceful field at that time. Currently also it's on top level only. But that time it was just upcoming. So I thought, like, why not put hands on to animation and gradually pursue my photography craze also. Because I read somewhere multimedia and animation, there is photography involved in it. Plus the audio video editing part. So yeah, let me get into it. And definitely she was the booster for me. 100% mental confidence, whatever. I know literally there has to be a good financial status to cut out this engineering part and get into some other field. But in my case, it's like I got into engineering field with sports quota. So I could bargain with my parents. This has happened, so why not give me some more time and let me grab my own interest. Literally, it was really hard to convince them. No.
How was the reaction actually when you...
No, what happened is I just ran away. I couldn't speak with them for a week or something. Gradually, I had a master plan. I just told that I'm ill. I have the sinus issue. I literally have it. But I just took advantage of the sinus issue. I told I can't just survive in this hostel life. So what they did, they told Achati, okay, no issues. My hometown is Gurwar and my college is in Coimbatore. It's around 120 kilometers. So they told, why not come to home for every weekend? So I was like, oh my god. Seriously, the next trouble. If they give me such an option, then definitely they are telling me unknowingly to continue this, you come back home whenever possible. But I was like, no, it's not at all. I just cannot take this anymore. Because I had literally 7 backups in my first year. So I told my parents, can't you see right now at least after first year, it's like after 2 semesters, 7 backups are it might be low, but there are people with 14 backups also. But still, I myself need to work it out. No? Later on, 7 might become 12, 12 might become 24. It keeps on going because what these people are feeding me is something which I'm not interested in. And only one subject which I was particularly interested in was graphic designing. And I was a topper of that college. I had 99 out of 100 in that particular subject, whereas other subjects are like 22, 90, literally speaking, out of 100, you know. I just don't need to hide it out anymore. So, things can take a turn when you really decide what's to be done. But I wasn't that matured as I am right now. Even you might be thinking, 2011, I was like 19 years or something, no, 19 or 20, in my 20s. So it's like that is not the right age to decide on a married life or maybe a career. But what I had is, I had this focus on my life because I have this girl in my life. I just don't think I can drop her out of my life and just vanish out. I had this great opportunities to go back to girlfriend, do some work. My parents were working back in Delhi at that time. So if I go back to work, then definitely I'm missing my personal life. So not distinct if she, of course she's ready to eat, but still not meeting, and that is not a life which we both
wish. Long distance was something that I really weren't.
But still we are doing it, you know. She's in Chennai, I'm in Bangalore.
That's not that fun.
Literally the previous version was like, you know, I was in Bangalore, she was in Kerala. So that is literally a big mess, you know. Still I used to find time and go to meet her without my parents knowing, literally. Yeah, right now it is like a cheese on the bread. Just see whatever you want, because past is past, but still certain things are not to be to do.
So I hope you don't get into trouble once you know about your sinus thing here.
There will be people, there definitely will be people who are thinking, oh, this person faked the sinus thing. And let me know, Ishu, because I have proved myself right now that the decisions I took right now is absolutely worth.
Yeah, it finally paid off.
Definitely. It paid off in another 3 years. From 2011 back to 2000, maybe in 2015, I was like, set, this is what I'm going to do. So yeah, training really matters. I think your question.
No, we are right on the track.
No, it's just all right. So, if in case I'm just fluctuating, you just tell me, right?
I have an interesting question.
Okay.
Do you share your PSLR?
Okay, that's a good question. Basically, what people say is never share your DSLR.
Yeah.
What happens is, let me tell you. Back in my beginning days, I really wanted to use a DSLR, so I had to ask another person. So with a good ability, he had shown the courtesy to share it with me. So definitely, even if today someone asks me to show me their my personal DSLR, definitely I would show them, because what happens is the happiness they get from seeing a DSLR, getting hold of it. I'm particularly focusing on a portion of people who are not able to afford it. Alright? Not the other person, not the other greedy version. The reason I'm telling a greedy version is because I might have got a good shot, they might take my great DSLR to delete that footage. So there are such people.
Okay.
Literally speaking, photography is a competitive world, brother. You just don't know what is happening on field during a photographic tour or maybe an expedition. So sharing my DSLR, definitely I would do it. It's not because I mean, I had a tough time in my old ages. So it's like in my past, when I wanted a DSLR, I couldn't afford it. So what I did, I was to see this senior people using DSLR. Can I just use it for some time? Ah, definitely. That blessed situation, you know, when we get something really good and which we are longing for to use.
Yeah.
Though I don't know the settings, I might spoil it. They might have that, you know, negative factor.
Yes, sir.
So, literally, if today someone comes and asks me for my DSLR, I definitely will share it. I don't have a second thought regarding that.
Yeah, I think Ganesh and I had a very similar experience. So, we go to Lal Bagh every Sunday. So, whenever we used to go, we used to see these big lenses and very good cameras. So, we never had those cameras at that point. So, we would go stand near them.
You might be wondering if you got a chance to use it.
And actually, at one, we asked them and they were very kind to give us. So, for us, it gave us a goal that, okay, when you get some money, this is what you're aiming for. And the quality of the photos that they take is what we're aiming for at the end. So, when we got our own DSLRs, we were very happy to share with others who wanted to check out our cameras.
You really need to move on with that cycle, you know. It's not that it's your stuff, others are not allowed to use it. They might spoil your settings, but definitely you can work on it later on.
Yeah, if you can't remember your settings, then you have not learned enough.
You haven't learned enough. So better not to give in that case. But still, if you can give them happiness, then definitely give it for them.
Yes, exactly.
And were you talking about giving my personal stuff for rent or something?
No. Just sharing. Like if someone, imagine if there's a small kid or a teenager beside you and they are quite interested and they want to know.
No issues at all. We have to share it. That's what I personally feel. There are people who don't share, literally speaking, you know. Their gears might be really expensive. But they just don't know what is going to happen the next time if they give their stuff. That's personal choices, but I'm not absolutely against it. But But if possible, try to give something to someone, somebody. It's just like giving food for the poor. Or not just poor, the happiness they get, you know.
Yeah.
The same feeling, we being amateurs.
More than that, you can say, share your knowledge.
Yeah,
share
exactly.
Is caring.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never know whom you can inspire in the future. Just
but there is a wise, there is another version also. If as you know, as Naveen told, suppose if it's a kid and you're getting your camera, if she drops it, that you really need to be careful. The things we cannot rewrite our fate. It happens.
You have to be aware as to whom you're handing your camera.
But a caution face. If you are sharing things, please wash your hands.
We are not stepping there again.
In the current scenario, right?
Yeah, current scenario.
Dude, seriously, you got it.
This is killing us, man.
It's become a huge problem now. You can't go anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
it does impact your career also right
now. As of now, how are you handling photo tours in this current scenario of COVID-19?
Seriously, it has been, it has drastically, affected my work scheme. I had almost close to 6 to 7 tours within this coming week. I had to skip and cancel because postponing is not possible. Because photo tours, what happens is the bigger ones, the 5 to 6 day tours, which happens outside Karnataka, they really need pre-booking by, well, 1 to 2 days in prior. So cancellation is not, and cancellation is possible, but refunding won't be there. At the same time, postponing is not possible because once booked, that's it. So I had to cancel it. There was no other choice. But with God's grace, what happens is I have a strong client base. And these client base, they definitely know what I am doing and what I am into. So there is no point of second thought they must be having. Praveen said so and so, let's just drop it, that's all. There's no one who would come back to me questioning that. There might be doubts, you know, freshers might get doubts. He postponed it because let's see on the business side. I can take a huge margin of profit. That's not how it works. If you come with me once, you definitely will know how things are going on. And yeah, this COVID thing definitely has affected my work skill, and I literally had to postpone 2 to 3 tours. But still, there are people who really have been waiting for this tour since the past 2 months. They are like, let's not drop it, let's just go, Praveen. So I'm like, nah, let's go, no issues. Because there are 3 tours lined up in Maharashtra. I think Maharashtra is kind of safe right now. There are cases, but forest is where you really, get cured. So there is no need of a second thought for you to visit the forest. I'm really happy that they have closed this malls right now.
Yes.
Because let them get to forest, na? At least let them have such a basic thought, let's go for a round outside. Of course, inside a closed gym with a mask. That's for your personal safety. But still, be cautious always. But enjoy this time, what you're getting right now. I think kids these days, they have got a summer vacation of 3 months or something.
Yes.
Usually it's 2 months, man. So make use of these 3 months, on the plus side, I would definitely say you can definitely spend time much more with your family and plan for some good, time with your family.
Yes.
At the same time. Because there are family people who has been waiting for such an auspicious moment. Literally speaking, there are kids, there are parents, they keep on waiting for our calls. We keep on getting busy. We don't attend their calls. We don't spend vacations with them. I think it's the right time. I mean, I know people might be cursing me for saying this, but there is another version always.
Yeah.
Plus and the minus. Minus everyone I'm aware of right now. I'm just saying of the plus time. Try to spend some time within the family.
No, it's good to see the positive side,
even during
a bad situation.
I don't know if people would think about that. It's like if we get a call from parents right now and we say that we are out, they would say, why are you out?
I just got a call just before this interview from my mother.
Exactly. So there is a version which people definitely will be having the positive side and the negative side. I would say let the negative side be inside your head. Work it out. But the positive side, give it some push. You definitely will feel a difference. There are a couple of unexplored places in Bangalore. You definitely can go. Now the roads are completely free. There's nothing much to be worried about. You just go explore.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Okay, Praveen. There are a lot of subdomains in photography. But what made you choose wildlife in particular? What is the thing that drove you towards wildlife?
All right. Yeah, the photography definitely, it's a massive area. And wildlife was not my prayer in the beginning. Nature but was. Nature is like, you know, sunset, sunrises, butterflies, flowers, street dogs. Let it be, as a matter of fact, anything what you see in nature. I had this craze towards nature, and I was, I was a regular visitor to Lal Bagh back in my initial days. Because Lal Bagh is the only option which I had. Because I used to stay in Malaysia. It's around 20 minutes, right, from Malaysia back down to Lal Bagh. So Lal Bagh was a hotspot for me. Taking my, I think my third camera in my entire career. Not career. Back in those days, it was not a career for me. Maybe in my childhood. Let's see. It was a point and shoot camera, the Sony one only. I think it's P90. It's a touch. The first touch camera released from Sony. Not the sensitive touch. The
passive touch.
Exactly. The phone's an Nokia NC.
Yeah.
Exactly. The stylus pen.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was the camera which I used to own. Basically, found money, obviously, my parents. So it's like I used to explore this lab, but nature just got into me at that point of time. It just got into my veins. And why not go for unusual thoughts? You see a tree, just take up a photograph and get back home and see what is there in that photograph. It's just blank. If there was a dog in that tree, I mean, just sitting below the tree, or maybe as a matter of fact, if there was a cat, or let's say kids playing below that tree, that makes another story. Huh? So that gradual thoughts evolved into my mind. Why not wait for such a shot? Till that, it was like just see whatever you click. Definitely, that is how you have to learn. Whatever you see, how to click in your beginning days. But once this gradual thought process came over, what if this and so was there in that tree? What if sunrise light was there in that frame? What if sunset light rays were there in that frame? Or as a matter of fact, if old age couple were walking on the lawn in that particular frame, such thought gradually came into my mindset. And why not wait for such a shot? Gradually, that took me to the next level of photography, basically. Patience is really one utmost feature which everyone requires. And this thought process gave me this, you know, what you say, spiritual power. It's like patience is definitely the first prior factor you need in photography, especially wildlife and nature. Because nature happens on one go. What you see now is not what happens next time. Suppose you might see a squirrel running down the tree at that particular 1 second time. But the next second you gather, set your camera, that squirrel won't be there.
Yes.
Because it keeps on chirping in this row, whatever it wishes to. Exactly what my point I am right now trying to say is, and imply is, wait for that. I really literally wait for certain moments. And I really do have that photograph right now. Still, I do show it to my students. No, I have a picture in which a squirrel is, it literally was eating something. So it's like holding his arms like this. The eating brain is not seen under. So it's like prayer. So what I could project two versions of that photograph. One is it's literally praying to God something. It was really magical. I do have the photograph. I'll definitely share it with you guys. It's just a simple photograph. But that impact which I achieved with the weight, with the patience which I had, it took me to next level.
So in a single photo, it's telling two different stories based on perception.
Exactly.
That's really
it nice. Literally, what I grabbed is, it was a green.
Right.
It was eating a tiny green. Right. But that tiny green is not seen between the hands.
Yeah.
I have one more small question.
Okay.
Did you put watermarking on your photographs?
At this point of time, I literally do. Because what happens is, I do have a hit list, blacklisted parties behind me, working behind me.
Okay.
What happens is, I do provide my pictures for these cover magazines. A couple of my works have published. What happens is, if we don't have a hidden watermark, not the massive one, okay, which disturbs your photograph, it will have a particular metadata such that even if someone steals it or uses it for their own purpose or for their own social benefits, definitely I'll get to know. So at this point of time, once you get into this field, you definitely need to have your own signature, because what happens is you really need to figure out that no one else is using your photographs. Even if they're using, let them use with permission. I'm ready to provide my photograph without signature also, if they really are in need of it. But at this point of time, I know where I am standing in current scenario, in my generation. So I know I do have images. So why to take risk? An image which I make, I know how much hard work I'm going to get it now. Why should I give it up for someone else who is not ready to work hard, just gain the fame in one go? There are a couple of such photographs which I myself found people using for their own benefits. And literally that has been an issue. So I'm not talking about the big watermark which we use for this. You know, it literally spoils the image composition. It will be a small watermark and you yourself cannot see it. It will be literally hidden. Only I myself can figure it out. So even in future, if I get a case where I find out that people are using my photograph, I can pursue that.
So it's basically for your security.
Security as well. It's not for my promotion. For my promotion, no need. Because I would explain that one verse up. Previously, it was like I wanted to promote my own style. So definitely, for every photograph, I would keep my watermark a bit highlighted. Right now, in today's scenario, it's like people know my style. Maybe in Indian photographic division, they do know, if they see a photograph, if they are a well-known part of this wildlife part, they definitely will figure it out that this is Praveen's photograph. That it literally took me 7 to 8 years to reach to that point, because that is my own style. I have a unique style in wildlife, in the sector. Maybe once you guys see those images, you definitely will get involved. So right now, I do keep this photo watermark part not that highlighted, but I do keep it. It's kind of mandatory for my profession.
So when did you start with Click and Frame?
Okay. Click and Frame was initially started back in 2011. To be precise, in my engineering days itself. It's like it was my first semester and I had this small portfolio which I always wish to share with the public around. I usually initially had collected a few photographs which I had done with my family outings with a basic point and shoot camera as I had shared earlier. It's like maybe 10 to 12 photographs. So I just want to show these photographs to the world. Facebook was gradually developing at that time. Maybe, yeah, it was almost hyped up only, but still it was not that versatile as it is right now. So why not create a page in Facebook? I initially started with Facebook back in 2009, I guess. Not sure exactly of the dates. 2008 or 2009 maybe. No much friends, maybe 200 to 150 circle. Back in my school days, all this same circle. So I thought like, why not create a page? I was known with this page and stuff. Literally, there are a couple of pages right now. So why not just create a basic gallery of your own works and just display it. Maybe the fan following base, which at that time would be just 12 or 13 members. So it's like I never had a vast public to see the works, but I really wish to portray it. So why not club it under one single roof where people can access my photographs? So that was the initial idea. So I was like, I needed a name for it. So back in those days, it's like I used to sit literally maybe every day. I used to think about this: what name shall I give? No fantasy names would come into my mind at that time. So it's like initially it was Snapkit. If you go to my Click and Frame page history, you definitely will find it. And I started this page with that name, Snapkit. Then it turned over to Praveen Snaps It. Kind of funky names, okay. Praveen Snaps It. And one fine moment, it was like Praveen Frames. Praveen and Frames, I guess. Then I was like, in order to frame a photograph, it has to be Click. So why not join Click and then make it frame. Make it a frame which you really wish to portray to the world. So it's like basically creating a photograph, that's done. The next version is, if you really love a photograph, you will frame it out in your house or something. So why not use those two technical terms, Click, Frame. Anyways, I cannot keep it as Click just give a space and put it as frame. So I just thought of giving that alphabet, the numerical alphabet, the AND portion. Then I was like, click AND frame. No, it's not complete yet. So let's make it a bit more fancy. Click N. The alphabet is there, no? N for neutral. N frame. So, then it was formed. That I still remember when I really designed that. Back in 2011, in my first semester, during one of the subjects, it was a free period for me. So, I was like just gradually sketching out on the terminologies. The click and frame logo, if you see right now, that was designed in maybe after 2 years. But the name click and frame was completely fixed. I did a research in the internet as well. Is there any other platform which uses such a name? So you can just think, I wasn't matured as I am right now, but I still had this focus on that particular name, because I really wanted to make it a brand in future. Let it be anything, maybe a photography studio, or maybe a public gallery where my works would be displayed. Not at all wildlife, all right? So click and frame was formed. And maybe the gradual stages of designing it went on once I stepped into the deep version of wildlife.
Yeah. So click and frame mostly focuses on wildlife photography, or do you do other shots as well?
No. Initially it was not about wildlife, but gradually my taste went towards wildlife, because once I started exploring wildlife. As I told you earlier, this Lal Bagh versions, I initially got that patience which I had mentioned earlier. Once I got that patience, then I started analyzing about the creatures living around in nature. There are these tiny birds, they fly around. Street dogs, they bark, they jabble around, they fight with each other. Maybe cats, even Lal Bagh had monkeys at that time. But now it's also
quite a few.
At that time it had literally lots of monkeys, and even the big bird which I used to tell at that time, but right now in its technical term it's a spot-billed pelican. But that time it was a big bird for me. Just that's how I used to call it. Oh, I got this big bird. That's what I used to say. So I started shooting them. Then I got this craze of wildlife. Why not get into this enhanced version of nature photography? In such a way, I think in 2013 was my first visit to this forest reserve. It's in Bandipur. Of course, with the help of another group. Let's not mention that group, because that group was unbiased. So, and not worth it to mention. But I would literally thank them, because maybe I stepped into the forest because of them. So I do have the gratitude always. The reason I'm not mentioning his name is because let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
So I initially got into Bandipur Tiger Reserve. It's located in Mysore district, maybe 90 kilometers apart from Mysore district. One of the famous tiger reserves in Karnataka as well as in India, and it is known for its tiger count. One of the largest tiger ratio it has. Of course, Bandipur Tiger Reserve falls in the Nilgiri biosphere, which has three other major forests. One is Nagarkoil and the other one is Mudumalai. So all these three put together comes under the Nilgiri biosphere. So anyways, I cannot explore the whole version of it, but still I was happy that I could enter into my first wildlife. No, but that literally was my first journey, initially clicking whatever you see. So wildlife, it got into me from that point of time. Let's say, to be precise, 2013, I guess so. So yeah, that was the spark which got into me. There is an elaborate version of it. Let's talk about that later.
Alright. What is the kind of encounter that you remember the most, the earlier days?
Earlier days, the best, if you ask me. That particular photograph gave me my first national award. It's like back in 2015, I had applied for this competition with that one single image. I had no hopes of winning and all at that time. Winning or losing is not ever my priority. Even right now, it's not my priority, because I just make sure the entry which I submit right now, it's worth competing in the competition. That's all what I look out for. But back in those days, it's like, just send it. But now the experience matters. Experience has taught me a lot. So-and-so images, if you send, definitely will be highlighted within the competition scale. But at that time, no one was there to guide me or I just went with the flow. I just submitted it, and luckily for my district, I was awarded with the national award for that particular image, and it happened back in Mumbai, 2016, early days of 2016. That one photograph, I definitely will share with you. It's a spot-billed pelican shot at Rangiritu Bird Sanctuary. Even that, again, is in Mysore. That was a solo journey with my friends. I think solo trip in a sense, not with any other group, but with my friends. And not to forget or not to... I mean, I just cannot continue without mentioning the names. One is Harsha Vardhan, and one is Ajit Skoda. These two are, like, you know, initially my travel partners since that days, because they are my college mates. That two college mates, not engineering, the multimedia which I did in Bangalore. All the 3 years they were with me. They were completely with me. It's like whenever I wanted to go for a tour, it's them, my friend leopards, let's go Macha, that's it. No other second thought for that. We don't have money, we never had a job or something. Just maybe the pocket money which we get from home, 50 rupees per day, or maybe 50 rupees or 100 rupees per week. Definitely they'll give us something. Being in the college life, we really need to enjoy it. At least with the 10 rupees, it does make a difference. We can get a chai, who wishes to smoke and smoke. So they were my travel partners, and maybe, two literal brothers from another mother, to be precise. And with God's grace, right now also the relationship is strong. It's just that we don't oftenly meet, but still we do make time for each other. So, that... Getting back to the Saranganathita tour, I had been there with them. And initially, I didn't have a gear at that time. So, I rented both DSLR and a lens also. To be precise, it's Canon 100-400 IS-1 version. And I wanted to photograph birds. That was my priority. These both were like, what you guys will do after going there? Because they don't have camera, right? None of us are having camera. We are in first year of our college life. So 2013, alright, we went to Rangiritu Bird Sanctuary. I was like analyzing bird movements. Definitely what a birder usually does. With the binoculars, they just keep on, looking and checking out on birds, and they just see what's going to happen next. What I spotted out is, I just saw a crazy action happening multiple times. What it is like is, I'll just explain you. Spotted bill pelican, it touches the water for a while and just raises its beak and go fly away. It's literally known as hovering. So what it, or skimming. It just touches the water. It's not catching fish. It's just taking a gulp of water and flying away. So I saw this multiple action happening within front of my eyes. So why not capture it?
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
After close to 100 trials maybe, or wait of 1.5 or 2 hours, finally I achieved one image. A number of images are there, but that one image stood out. I'll just show it to you guys later on. And that image is what made me to believe in myself that I have this patience in wildlife. It's not about the tiger factor, it's not about the leopard, it's not about the elephant factor. That one common bird and common activity which none has noted made me to choose on that action, and I had it achieved in my memory card. And when I showed it to my partner in crimes, Harsha and Ajay, they were like, what is happening? Because that photograph is so dramatic that the freeze is absolutely stunning. It's not because I'm boosting it to myself. At that particular time, such a photograph was not common. These days, it's absolutely common. For example, I just tell you, these days, tiger yawning is very common. But 10 years ago, it's a rare spot. And these days, leopard sleeping on a tree, it's very common. But back in those days, it was a main highlight. So similarly, spotted pelican hovering and skimming was an absolute odd factor in back in those days. So what I did, let's submit this for a competition. And this competition link, I think I got it from my college. As I earlier mentioned, Pravin Manik ma'am had forwarded me the link. Pravin, you are basically interested in wildlife, no? Why not apply one or two photographs for this? I applied two photographs. One is this one and one is taken back in Lal Bagh. That photograph is three monkeys sitting together. Mother and father, kid in the middle. So that particular photograph is what drastically or maybe literally changed my pathway, because I was not confident enough to get into wildlife till then. But this one factor, and as a matter of fact, and later on I was awarded with the national award. So it's like a blast for me. So I was like, why not pursue wildlife as a matter of fact? But I never had any source of income at that point of time. Maybe just shooting primary shoots, which I do get end up getting per month, maybe 500 bucks or something. Primary shoots in the sense, these automobile showrooms are there. At that time, I had done a couple of shoots for automobile showrooms. Not the bigger brands, the scooty prepped, maybe, yeah, such scooters and all. They just wanted to few photographs for their promotion purpose. I would just shoot them. No editing, nothing. Just shoot it and give it. Get me paid enough to survive that 1 month. Plus the pocket money which I used to get from my aunt, maybe 100 per week or every 3 days. So I used to collect it and just explore my wildlife more and further. Of course, my friends who really supported me, plus my lady who definitely was on course period at that time. Even though she's small, I'm 3.5 years older than her, but there is no huge wavelength between us. It's like, even if today if I ask who's mature enough, I would say Rajalakshmi, she's really mature enough than me, even though she's really small. But at certain point of time, I would really wonder, oh my God, how is it possible that she's getting into a conclusion or decision regarding my fact? She always has this, you know, sharp conclusion on what I am up to. Even if I have doubts on myself, definitely she will have a conclusion of what's to be done and what's ahead, what is lying ahead on my way, which I might find as a hurdle. She's ready to just move me on. So yeah, I was talking about the one photograph. Definitely, I really believe it's worth for you. So I might, I would request you guys to show it out maybe some other time. But that one photograph, it's a basic photograph, but what happens is, there is a lot to inspire in that photograph. It's a common action which happens in daily life, which we really ignore. Suppose I'll just give you an example. If we see a dog yawning, we might just ignore it. But if we take a photograph and see its canine teeth inside, and there is a huge pattern texture on its tongue, it makes a huge difference. There's a lot of detail involved in every motherly nature made stuff, you know. So that photograph is like, it had a complete expressive portion which we cannot get hold with our naked eyes. We can just see it, but photographing is onto an extra. So that is one photograph which I really am proud about right now.
Yeah, that's really nice. So when I went through your Facebook page, I saw a lot of tiger photos. So I wondered us, why the fascination with tiger?
Okay. Big cats has always been a fascination to me. Since the initial phases of my journey. So what happens is, to be speaking frankly, I don't remember when my first initial sightings were, because by now I have spotted close to maybe 500 sightings of a big tiger. So I really don't know when it started. But big cats, what I felt fantasized about is, you know, its behavior, its natural style, its charisma, and its, you know, the avatar. It basically is the king of jungle. I mean, if lion is not there. Because in Indian woods there are no lions except Gir, but that's not a complete forest. So currently it's tiger only, I believe. So it's not just about tiger. Any cat which falls under big cat family is a fantasy to me. But the reason I'm particularly interested about big cat is, I had this initial project planned in my mind to document almost all the tigers in India. At least before it goes extinct. So it is still ongoing. It is one of my dream projects. Not to be precise about one particular tiger reserve, but the complete tiger reserve in India. So big cat is something which you can really analyze and study a lot about. Basically tigers, they have complete, you know, manipulation. They are complete manipulators in the wild. They are the true kings. They survive not just for greed, but for their hunger. We might have read these stories in childhood that tigers they hunt for greed and all, but that's not that is an absolute fake factor. What happens is they are the king of the jungle currently, so they need to survive. So they just make a hunt whenever required only. Else not, it's like even if a spotted deer, as a matter of fact, one of the main meals of tiger, if tiger is sleeping and spotted deer just goes next to it and shoots it away, also doesn't do anything, as a matter of fact. Those are certain characters which we really need to analyze and learn, because human behavior is absolutely greedy related. We are completely in the greedy era right now. If I can make something more than you were doing, that is a plus point for me. But I won't see how you have achieved it. I would just go for shortcuts and see where I can achieve it and how I can achieve it. That's all. But the hard work you have done, I am not at all taking care about it, because I know that I can achieve it in a shortcut method. But that's absolutely wrong. Forest has certain laws which can definitely teach you, which we can get inspired from. There are many n number of laws. For example, I'll tell you a few of these laws. They hunt only when required. They're not like you see a gathering, they just go run away and hunt. No, that's not it. They have a strong bonding. Let's say, as a matter of fact, not just tigers, any species, they have a strong bonding. They stick together. They don't ditch each other's back, which we humans are much more precisely sticking on to. Then they have the cyclic issues which happen, the climate issues. They pre-plan well in advance what's to be done in the next 6 months. They have a pre-visualization which we humans don't have. So that is one of the main, a beautiful law which they are following, which they are not taught literally. It's just that they are surviving within the woods and they are learning it from themselves. It's just like I go to a new city, let's say Mumbai, and I start exploring on my own. Bangalore life and Mumbai life is absolutely different. Their food style, their culture style, their living heritage, everything is different. Huh? So it's like a small species is born. They are being trained by their parents in such a good way. You really need to analyze it with them. It's not that I can define it from my words. You really need to head into woods. It's not just one time, n number of times, and you definitely will start analyzing on, oh, what all are happening inside woods. There are n number of laws, there are n number of beautiful aspects which can keep you engaged.
And how much time have you spent in the woods to understand the behavior of these creatures?
Definitely, it's a long while. I think close to 5 years right now. Because what happens is every day, every month, it keeps on changing. The species you see right now is not the species you see after a month. But in tiger's case, in big cat's case, they are the rulers. They will definitely survive for another few years. So that is one point which I really feel attached with. Because I can mark a photograph of one tiger. Let it be a tiger or tigress. I'm sure maybe next month, if she or he is healthy, I definitely will meet him again.
This question I have, exactly. I kind of thought like it might be funny to ask, but the same place, since you tour multiple times,
exactly.
Is it that there is that one particular cat that you can identify when
it's
you go?
It's not just one particular cat. There are any number of cats.
Have you named any?
There are a couple of names, but it's not just I name it. There are celebrity names within Indian forest woods. You know, it's like they are named by the localites over there just to make sure they are known to the entire world. One famous tiger is Majli, but she is no more. She is named. There is a fantasy behind that. She is named Majli because she had killed a crocodile, which is a rare historical approach. So same way there is Maya from Tadoba, Madkasur from Tadoba, and Bheem, Bajrang, many n number of names are there. It's just named for a fantasy part, that's like that people get to analyze which tiger is so and so and from which foods, Parwali, Kolarwali. There are many couple of names, but right now there is a new rule that we are not supposed to reveal the names just because poaching has been increased drastically within Indian woods. So we name them with unique T codes, T57, T21, like that. So that's a better version of Indian wildlife. And to be on the happier part, we wildlife photographers are following it with open heart because we really need them to survive. So as you said, is identification possible? Yes, it is absolutely possible. But that interest has to come from your side. You see one tiger, you see the next day, you see the same tiger, you might think you saw it twice. But no, it might be a different tiger. seeing it n number of times, you definitely will get
it. You probably know the difference anyway.
Exactly.
Right? And then, then the way you are saying, you will actually get a personal attachment.
Definitely. But in two or three trials, you definitely won't get it. You really need to spend time and, I need to focus on this tiger at least once. So that mental attachment is something like, I really have a mental attachment with one tigress in Central India, and it's I don't want to name it, but she is an unknown female from land of Central India. It's from Tadoba Tiger Reserve. It's like I have had close to 150 encounters with that tigress.
How close have you been to this, like in terms of distance?
That might put me back, put me down from my job. But let's say maybe the closest encounter which I have faced is close to 10 meters. Because we have a healthy, bonding with these species. It's not that we just go rush to them and stay there and disturb them. No, it's absolutely the different version. What you see in videos is not what the actual reality is. We really have a healthy chemistry with these species. And once we have maintained this healthy chemistry, we are particularly sure, 100% sure that she or he, whoever it is, are going to make rounds on their territory ruling part, and they definitely will come back to us. So we have that. I train my team in such a way that let's not stick to any big cats. Let's see what happens on our way. Because if we go on following one particular thing, it is their open world. They might be anywhere.
The tigers, for the most part, are aware you are there.
Definitely.
But still don't actually...
Exactly.
That's really...
What happens inside the woods is... woods are completely... It's an open maze. It's a game, actually. We really need a proper game plan in order to achieve what is really required. It's not that you get into woods and they will be there waiting for us, saying hi. That's not how it works. And... to be frank enough, today's generation, they do have a wrong assumption that let's get to two woods and let's get back with 5 to 8 tiger sightings. That's not how it works. You really need patience. Our game planning should be proper and perfect. That's where an expertise makes a huge difference. Going with an expertise and going on your own, there's a huge difference. An expertise will have a proper game plan, and that game plan is to be enjoyed from day one till the day end. Even if you end up getting no sightings also, what happens with the game plan is the surprises which arise in between it, that is something worth experiencing.
Right.
And that is exactly what photo tours can offer you.
I kind of feel like David Attenborough giving his
experience. I'm getting really inspired
by Karnataka.
I have one question for you.
That's a huge
one. Ever got startled by a tiger's roar?
No.
It's apart from the photography, I just
Maybe my initial days, to be frank enough, I wasn't startled with by any tiger roars, or maybe even a tiger attack. Tiger attack in the sense, they do charge, they do mock charging when they are in aggressive mode. But they don't harm public because they are really used to public's presence. Especially most known tigresses in India. Almost all the tigers and tigresses are known with this. They are used with this public presence. But at times, yeah, definitely our calculations can go wrong. But that is rare of the rarest. So startling with a tiger roar, no, not yet, brother. Because I really enjoy the each and every melodious aspects within the forest. I really take care of whatever is happening inside the forest. Whoever comes with me, they would definitely ask me, why am I so silent in the safari? Normally these hosts, they do talk a lot during safari, but I myself, being the mentor, I keep a privacy with them, because what I really do is I analyze each and every minute sound which happens. Because what happens inside the forest is, if we need to track a big cat, we need to be conscious about all the alarm calls happening around. Alarm calls is a clue that there is something happening within a 5 km radius. And alarm calls are basically spread and given out by these spotted deers, marking deers, sambar deers, or even as a matter of fact, langurs, the Indian langurs, or monkeys. There are monkeys inside the forest, but we name them as langurs. There's another version of monkey. So these, every minute sound, if you really hear it, you really get attached to it. Let me say this as an advice to my upcoming joiners as well, because I'm sure this show might reach n number of people, which I haven't met yet now. So I'm sure that there might be people who are really, excited about knowing more about this aspect. What you say is, even if not with me, even if you're going on your own to a booth, please make sure to really enjoy each and every minute sound which happens inside the forest. It's that city life. One is city life, one is this nature around us. City life would be spread out with honks and, you know, guys, people around. So what you, once you go there, at least 1-5 minutes, just tell your companions to keep quiet and enjoy the nature. Of the switch of the week, just stay there for 5 minutes. I am 100% sure in that 5 to 10 minutes, if you are ready to stop for yourself, you are definitely going to experience something enchanting and exciting in the next 4 hours. It's 100% guarantee from my side. It may not be a tiger sighting. Something will be there lying hidden for you in exclusive if you are ready to experience quiet with the prowess factor. And that is maintaining silence. It's because it is their own private world. And we being their guest, we are going into their world without their notice. So if we expect them to greet us, we really need to maintain their privacy.
Right. So you also have to blend in so that they...
Definitely.
So that you're not disturbed.
Because there are cases where you enter the woods, you are waiting for something. Maybe you switch off your vehicle for 10 minutes. The tiger or any species might be just behind you inside the bushes. Because every n number of every ten rides you do in your wild, the species, let's say as a matter of fact the tigers only, they do spot you before we spot. Let it be in a time frame of 1 hour. They might be there at the right at the beginning itself, but we don't note it. It's just that we need to be highly conscious of what's happening inside.
We are out of tune from that era where we spend time in jungle.
Exactly.
You know?
What happens to
the urban jungle.
Yeah, exactly. What happens these days is like people come over into woods and they expect us to show wildlife in fraction of a second. Where is the tiger? Dude, come on, yeah. You guys are in wildlife and it's not a zoo. If you really need to get such an experience, go to zoo, na?
Exactly.
Because
it's like...
Basically, being into this profession, what happens is... I really have faced this occasions where people they just say, let's quit the safari and get back home. Praveen, just pay us back. Dude, what the? Seriously, that's not how it works. You really, if you end up citing nothing in the 6 safari or 10 safaris, it's fine. There's always a next chance. But the experience which you gain, that has to be worth it.
Right.
That definitely is going to happen if there is a good coordination between you guys and the team mentor.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
So listening to all this, even I'm very excited. And as you mentioned, for the people who might see you soon, would you give any suggestions to these amateur photographers who just started off?
Definitely. I would say that everyone has their own time. Time plus fate. It is something, it's not that you get a camera today and tomorrow let's go to jungle and become a wildlife photographer. That is a common tag which we amateurs, it's most of us amateurs have these days. It's a negative factor actually. What happens is they get this expensive gears and they just don't know how to use it on the prayer. They just use automated modes and get into woods. And for their good luck, they get a tiger in their first safari. So that's it. Then I am a wildlife photographer, man.
And they have a page of their
exactly.
Own.
That happens in next step. The next
no, I've seen that happen actually. I've seen that happen like some of my friends. They buy drones which is like 30-40k and they don't even know how to use it. So they're like, bro, I got a drone now. No, I do
drones.
Yeah, that's it.
I really envy such people.
Seriously, brother. No, if they have money, let them invest and get the stuff. Yeah, I'm not offending it at all. But there is a rule to abide in, you know, in the forest. You really need to follow it. It's not that you have a great gear, you get a good decent photograph. No, it's not that you have money factor. You are really rich and you pay so and so money and just get me straight to the tiger. No, that's not how it works. It might work, but there's no fun in it.
It's a skill you actually develop over time.
Basically,
through experience.
Exactly. It takes much, n number of time actually.
Right.
It takes time as well as your personal pocket to get sprayed out. Because wildlife is really expensive. It's not that you do few rounds of safari and you get something. No. Once you get the craze, that's it. You never turn back. I know there are people who has a good income, has a moderate income, and they do save for just for the wildlife purpose. I really do respect them because they are ready to explore wildlife. No? It's not like they go for shortcuts. It's not like you go to a wildlife tiger reserve and you ask these previous attendees, is the tiger sighting? Is it sure? Is it 100% sure? Shall we go inside? It's like, oh my god, why? That too, these things has happened in my presence as well. Dude, then why are you coming with me? I really do train my team that let's not focus on the tiger sighting ratios. I'm 100% sure that once you come with me, you will get to know all the rules and regulations of our wildlife. Let it be n number of sightings or let it be zero sightings. That's absolutely on how we are going to end up the game. Because as I said earlier, the game plan is very much required for any wildlife safari. And the game plan would be really interesting that there would be n number of charted routes. The route which the team leader chooses, and the team should 100% depend on the leader's decision. It's not that sometimes maybe once in 5 or 10 times it might go wrong because we are also humans. Calculations can go wrong, and at that time also you really need to have faith in the leader. As a matter of fact, that's what happens when you go on your own and when you go with an expert team. There's a huge difference, folks. It's not that I'm saying it literally so that you join some tour or maybe some grouping and then get into woods next time. Those who are going solo and those who enjoy it can definitely continue it. But once in a lifetime, at least do experience it with a pro team. There is a huge difference which you are going to get hold of.
Nice. So when we were talking, you mentioned you had a couple of dream projects. I wanted to ask, what's that one dream project that you really want to do?
All right.
Drum rolls. What's the big thing next for Praveen?
I would say that I am almost at the end of a dream project. It's like 90% done. I'm basically attached to one tiger reserve in India, and that is Tarhuba Tiger Reserve. And it's been 3.5 years since I'm into that zone. So what happens is, it is a dream project. Maybe revealing it might give ideas to other folks, but let's reveal it. No issues. I'm almost done with it. It's like I had this initial stages of dreams where I want to photograph each and every tiger of that particular reserve and make a book. That is secondary. Make a promo poster where that poster will be shared in the tiger reserve's entry gate. So that is a huge thing for a photographer like me. And it is one of a kind thing which hasn't been done by any other photographers yet. Now you guys might have gotten the idea, but I am almost at the end stages of it. I just need 2 more tigers from that particular reserve and I'm done with that project. And it's not a so-called project. The specialty is that each and every tiger in that picture, which I'll be making it as a collage or a poster, each and every tiger and tigress will, all the shots taken as a profile shot. Perfect, accurate head-on shot where the tiger will be displayed with its name, the unique words, and whoever comes over to these primary tiger reserves, especially Tarhuba, they definitely will make sure that these are the main tigers to look out for. And once they find my name under the banner, it's a huge thing for me. It's not at all about the payment aspect which I'll be getting in future. It is a dream come true moment for me that yes, tiger tourism is right now developing in a massive scale at the moment. So just imagine how many n number of people seeing that poster will definitely remember my name, or my brand's name, or my team's name. That is really a dream come true moment for me. And to achieve this, to be precise, 35 individual tigers, it took me 3 years right now and counting. Just for two more weekends, it's been almost half an year and working around it. So you can just imagine how hard it is to achieve that one profile shot. Not just crossing shot, the profile shot in the sense, the complete face profile will be in detail, in depth. So that is, it's going to be a huge hit for sure. I'm 100% sure because I haven't seen such a project which has been launched by anyone in India any day. So this is an idea which I had since I joined Tiger Reserves. I mean, this Tarhuba, since I explored that forest, because at that point of time, back in 2016, that's when I visited Tarhuba for the first time. I used to ask them which all tigers are there. They just give us names. There's no photographs, nothing. These days, there are books There are 5 to 6 books which mentions tigers, but there is no profile shots. There might be profile shots also, but there is no profile shots of each and every tiger. So it might be a helpful thing for them. And all these 35 does exist right now also. Maybe one few has passed away, but still I won't delete them from the list. They all are iconic tigers, you know. So having such
a... the lands.
Yeah, definitely.
So they don't deserve recognition.
Exactly. So you can just imagine... Maybe Tadoba is such a famous tiger reserve in which lakhs of people, you know, visit it every week or maybe every 2 weeks. They have such a good vast tourism base, and so you can just imagine once you go there and you just see that promo poster right in the front of the gate, it's a huge dream come true for me. That is one of my dream projects. And if you ask me for another project, I definitely have a dream of capturing snow leopard as well as the Black Panther. Definitely in coming years it will happen for sure. And maybe as a destination, as a dream destination, obviously Masai Mara, Tanzania is every wildlife photographer's dream destination. But for me it is secondary. Why? I would say why means it is an open vast grassland. You end up paying lakhs and you go there for a tour, you definitely will get each and every shots which you have ever dreamed of. Because there is no much issues in getting a good frame out. You just need to hire a good lens and just go. But the composition factor comes to a second. Exactly. So that is an easy thing actually. If I start saying right now and maybe in another year I can definitely make it to Masai Mara. But that's not how it has to be. I really need to complete my motherland first. That's India. So I have to visit 3 more national parks. Let it be unnamed. Because my fan followers or the my supporters might think, oh, he hasn't visited that place yet. So let's not unreveal it. I need to complete Indian wildlife first. Maybe it might take me another 1 or 2 years. Let's see. Time is, you know, much more spread out for me. And I have no other strings attached except my wife. So, but she's absolutely into this. So I don't have any issues with it. She's completely supportive. So, I really have a long way to go.
Before we end this show, Praveen, what's up for people who will come and join Click and Film? What are the options that they get to learn from you?
I have been waiting to answer this question. So it's like Click and Film, basically we are into wildlife, extreme wildlife tours across India. You say it, we go for it, because it's just that we really need to make sure that a budget tour is organized for people who really need to own it. Because in my initial stages, I really had these dreams to explore wildlife, but the budget is what, you know, stopped me from achieving it. So today, I do have basic packages, especially for these needed ones. We organize tours in such a comfortable manner that, you know, it is done in a precise budget manner. You are not paying anything extra. You are paying everything for the package what you are going to afford. And you might take a note on the client reviews which our company has. As Ganesh has mentioned, you can find it in Click and Film official page. And we do have a huge fan base of close to 27k in Facebook. Not that active on Instagram, because I just don't get time to be, you know, on the solo part of Instagram. But Facebook is where my leads are. If you really wish to know further, you definitely can get into that social media part. So we basically do organize a basic workshop for these beginners and amateurs. It's like we do give individual attention. Those who has been a part of our photo walks, they definitely are into next level on today's scenario. I literally don't want to boost about myself, but what happens during a photo walk is that we give individual attention to each and everyone who attends the photo walk. That is one of a kind in Bangalore. I'm sure those who are attending might know it. So whatever, yeah, Ganesh himself has
attended our Click and Frame's first photo walk, quite a few even after that as well.
Exactly.
I've been there multiple times, and that is the first time I got to use manual mode. For the first time ever, I was cracking my head like, where am I going to learn? There are so many tutorials on YouTube.
Yes, I was really excited when I actually figured it out.
Yeah, so that is where I really thank Click and Frame on that for giving me an opportunity to explore the actual artistic side of photography, where you get to learn the details of lighting and how the lens really works and all these things. I got to learn from Click and Frame on that.
that. To add on with Ganesh, what happens during a click and frame photo walk is that we do have unique themes based. We conduct photo walks every month, to be precise. And every photo walk, there is a unique theme which is being given to the public. And what happens is, it's not that we let the public to go out and explore it on themselves. We don't give them the settings. That is a main priority factor. We let them to explore it on themselves. And let them learn on what's to be done and on the spot, provided the topic given. If they have a doubt, we are there to help them out. It's like it's like an open world where you can learn mutually. We being mentors, we are definitely. I have a core team which helps me during my during every photo walks, because individually attending 50 close to 30 between 35 and 50 people, it's not possible, practically possible. So I do have a core team who will be walking around and guiding each and every person on a personal note. So that is a plus point. And these photo walks are absolutely free. They are not charging anything. So you definitely, those Bangaloreans who are really interested to come over, you can definitely keep in touch with us on Facebook and especially on the Click and Frame page and Instagram, as well as Facebook. You definitely will get an update on upcoming schedules being charted by us. Then we believe that a photographer is to be named under photography tagline once this switches from photo mode to manual mode. Manual mode is not as hard as one thinks it is. It's just like achieving what you really need to do in an artistic manner. If you really need to be a good photographer, I precisely advise you to come out of the automated mode and go fully fledged with manual mode. It takes time. I know it really takes a lot of time. For me itself, it took me around close to 1 year or something to learn the complete aspects of manual mode. So, but once you get out of this manual mode, once you get out of this automated mode and get into the aspects of manual mode, that's where you're really going to enjoy every corners of this digital world.
It gives you complete control.
Exactly. Control about what you really want to achieve. And once you get that output, that happiness is something which can never be replaced.
So, any other
regarding this? Yeah, exactly. Regarding upcoming tours, we do have a couple of tours lined up to Tipesho, that's in Maharashtra, Ranthambore, that's in Rajasthan, Bandhagav Tiger Reserve, that's in Madhya Pradesh, and of course Tadoba, that's in Maharashtra again, and Kabini, Bandipur. For these localites in Bangalore who wishes to do a quick tour, we are definitely ready to host and organize a perfect tour for you guys. Let it be an IT firm, let it be any company firm. The maximum we can allot is close to 15 per pack. So say we do have altered packs for whoever required. Let it be a family, let it be a family gathering. But we are not hosting a party package, to be precise. We are not hosting a tour for your luxury. That's not at all. If that is your primary concern, then we are not the persons to be approached with. Because what we are doing is we give maximum knowledge on wildlife conservation as well as photography, just to make sure that you really get into that wild action and get all the exciting encounters happening around you. And as a matter of fact, if you really need to explore wildlife, let me do a new self booster. It's like we are the right person right now in Bangalore. Other than me saying self-trolling, you just can make sure that you go through this social media platform and you can just see it to your eyes. You can just read the client reviews and I'm sure that you will be impressed. It's not paid reviews, by the way. it's all hard work done from the past 5 years.
How can they approach you on social media? What's your social handle? On Facebook and Instagram, it's
Click and Frame. Exactly. We are the only, I'm the only person with Click and Frame handle in the world, I guess, because since that time I have officially registered it officially, and this is a basic brand under my name, and I am happy that today people recognize me with my brand and not my name. I don't want them to recognize me with my name, because tomorrow I really wish people do say me, Click and Frame's guy. That's what I really love to hear. It's not that Praveen's Click and Frame that doesn't work out for me, because my works really need to be flourished and cherished throughout, even under my absence. So I'm sure currently Click and Frame is a one-man army, It definitely will continue to go on the same scale unless and until I can afford someone else. to talk about affordability, yeah, it's not easy to be a wildlife photographer, and to make a basic income from this, it's really hard. For all those who are thinking that wildlife photography is just like a piece of cake, no, you are absolutely mistaken. You really need a proper base to start off with. People need to know your platform. People need to know, have trust on you, because they are investing lots of money on you for every tours. They just don't invest simply. You really need to show a portfolio. So it takes time. Those who are thinking about getting into this field, I would advise you not to get into this field, because there is really less source of income. But once you plan it properly and you are like, huh, this is my field, then definitely go for it. Do what your heart says. Sorry.
It's not just a profession, it's kind of a commitment.
Exactly. There is lots of risk involved too, yeah. Because the team which comes with me, we cannot give you 100% assurance that there won't be any attacks. That's not... It has to be mutually good, a decent mutual understanding should have, has to be happening over with us as well as yourself.
Alright, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. We'll be back with another episode. Until then, stay tuned, take care, stay safe, be healthy. Thank you.